this evening that I hope will be a blessing to you and encouragement to you. And really, that's what I have, is a word of encouragement, and I guess you could call it some biblical instruction as well. But I want to share a little bit in this psalm. Now, if you have a King James Study Bible, and as I was preparing this lesson yesterday, or Monday, or whenever I did, I was reading in that, and it says somewhere in there, like, there is no logical outline to this psalm. Well, that may be true, but it does seem to have a major point. And the major point seems to be that the wicked prosperity is short-lived. Now, you ought to always keep that in the back of your mind. Those that prosper and seem to have everything in life, and life is great, and life is grand, and life is just terrific, and you know they're living just like the devil himself, you ought to remember that's only for a season. But what happens is that David says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. And so he goes on. Now look here again at verse 1 and 2. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. So, you know, don't be jealous, don't be envious, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither is the green herb. So it won't be all that long. Go down to verse 7. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And then we didn't read this far, but if you jump ahead to verse 35. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Then he also adds there in verse 8 and 9, he says this, cease from anger and forsake wrath. You see, you could get angry. You could say, why? Why does everything always go so good for them and not for me? But he says, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And then he adds to verse 9, for evildoers shall soon be cut off. And we live in a world where it just looks like if you're wicked, and I will say it seems like there's a lot of wicked people. When I use the phrase a lot, wicked is the devil of himself, it seems like there's quite a few people like that walking around and spreading their whatever you want to call it they spread. And you can say, well, it just looks like they're doing so well and being so prosperous. And David says, don't be envious of them. You know, don't be angry because of all of these things. The wicked is going to get what is coming to them. So don't fret when they prosper, he said in verse 10. Notice what he said, for yet a little while. In a little while, the wicked shall not be. So in a little while, now you say, well, what's a little while? I have no idea. A little while with me is different than what a little while with God is. God's not bound by time like you and I are. You know, God doesn't have, say, man, I got to get this done in the next minute or two because, you know, the time is good. God doesn't operate like that. Now I want you to notice a few other things. Look at verse 12. The wicked plotteth against the just. They do. The wicked, they hate Christianity. They just hate it. They can't stand Christianity. And they gnashes upon him with his teeth. Look at verse 14 again. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of an upright conversation. So they want to slay people who are upright in their conduct. You say, what's wrong with those people? They're lost. They're wicked. They're ungodly. This is what they want to do. Go down to verse 17. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken. But notice he says, the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Verse 20. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of the lambs. They shall consume into a smoke, shall they consume away. And then verse 32, I think. The wicked watches the righteous and seeketh to slay him. I mean, they're just, you know, Christianity is not loved by the lost. And you see our nation divided. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of that division is a religious division. You go back and study the history of America. And where our founding fathers, they came here. I think people forget this, especially the liberals who want America to be progressive and all-inclusive. And, you know, we can have same-sex marriage and the transgenders can't figure out what they are. And that's all good. You do remember when our founding fathers came here, They came to look for a place where they could raise kids in a godly atmosphere. The Puritans particularly migrated to America with that purpose, and they weren't poor, and they weren't uneducated. They had wealth, and they didn't come here, and they were well-educated, and they didn't come here just because this was a great business opportunity. It was a good business opportunity, but that's not why they came. They left Holland. They said, this place is ruining our young people. This place is evil. And so they came because they wanted a godly place. And I guess I kind of look around and say, wouldn't it be nice just to have a godly place to raise our children? But we don't have that anymore. It's awful. So in this psalm, David is troubled at the prosperity of the unrighteous. And I suppose that you'll see people today who are, maybe you, troubled at the prosperity of the unrighteous. But one of these days they're going to be cut off. Wicked people, they look around and they say, we're doing just fine. The righteous look around, and I look around anyway, and I say, no, we're not. We're not doing just fine. But I'm going to say something in the big picture. Are they really? And are they really doing just fine? They're not. You need to keep the big picture in mind. So this psalm does tell us how to act, or you could even say to react, to the wicked people's prosperity. Now, let's look at some of these things. Let's look at verse 1 again. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. First he said, don't fret. Don't be envious. Don't let it bother you. Don't get upset over it. Don't be jealous. Yeah, but Pastor, look at them. They've got a nice house. They got an in-ground swimming pool. They've got 3 or 4 beautiful automobiles, and they've got all the bells and the whistles and the toys. Just look at them. Don't be jealous of that. Don't be envious over those things. Fret not thyself because of the prosperity of the wicked. Don't be covetous is the right word, I guess, of what they have. So, well, why not? Verse 2 says this. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. You're not envious of that part of the psalm. So the first thing he says, don't fret. And then beginning in verse 3, and while this is not a natural outline to the psalm, it does give us some words of encouragement and some words of instruction. The first thing he says is, trust in the Lord. You know what you got to do? You just got to trust God. See, Pastor, look at how bad everything is out there. What are you going to do about it? Well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm just going to lean on the Lord. I'm going to believe the Bible, and I'm going to trust God, and that's where I'm going to start. I'm going to believe God's word is true by faith. I'm going to trust God enough to just keep doing good. Now, let me give you this. You just keep doing what you know to be the right thing to do. And most all of you know what the right thing is to do. So you just keep on doing the right thing. And when you trust, you're going to be fed. Now, let's look a little further, verse 4. So first he says, trust. Then he says, delight in the Lord. You know that song or chorus or whatever you want to call it where it says, he is my all in all? And it's got verses in it that says something like this. When I am down, he does what? Picks me up. Seeking him as a precious jewel. Do you know when you delight yourself in the Lord, you seek him like a precious jewel. You just delight in him. And then there's a verse that says, at least a line in it, that says something like this. Lord, to give up, I'd be a what? A fool. You'd be foolish to quit on God. You'd be foolish to look at what the wicked have and say, well, I want that. And then he says this, when I am dry, what's he do? Well, he fills my cup. You see, when we delight in the Lord, you know what God changes? Our want to. I know everything changes. Okay, I get that. But our want to changes. You ought not to fret what they have. You ought not to be desirous of what they have. We want what God wants. And you know, when we delight in the Lord, and then all of a sudden our want to changes, and we want what God wants, you know what God gives us? It's in the psalm. He gives us the desires of our heart. So you delight in him. Here's a little illustration for you. You know how sometimes you delight in ice cream or dessert or, you know, maybe your favorite meal or something. You say, oh, Mm, this is just good. You're delightful. You are delighting in that food. Well, we're to delight in the Lord. Or a hot cup of coffee in the morning, or a cold glass of water sometime in the hot day. He is, as I mentioned, he's to be our all in all. He fills the void in our heart. When we think that we are lacking, we delight in the Lord. We find him delightful. And I want you to go down to verse 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. A little bit that the righteous has is better than all the things that the ungodly have. Then he says this, look, go back to verse 5. He said, commit thy way. So he said in verse 3, trust. He said in verse 4, delight. He says in verse 5, commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord. What's that? You surrender to him. We are committed to him no matter what comes our way. And we heard the preacher say this past Sunday, he's, you know, in life, he went through a very difficult situation. But everybody goes through difficult things in life. I have been, you have been, you will again, I will again. That's called, you know what I call that? Living life. That's all you're doing. You're living life, okay? So there's hard times, but we commit ourselves to the Lord. Now, here's what God does when we do some of these things. Let's go back at the same verses and look at the end of verse 3. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I mentioned that a moment ago. Verse 5, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. No matter how good it looks for the wicked, we are to trust, we are to delight, we are to commit. And then he said in verse 7, rest. We're to rest in the Lord. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. What do you do when you rest? Well, when I rest, I like to cuddle up next to my wife, man. And it's very comfortable and cozy. And I'm resting. But you know what else I like? When I'm resting, and I mean really resting, you know what I have? I have peace. When you know you're resting in the Lord when you're at peace. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, verse 10 and 11 said, yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Then, if you look at verse 7, we've just said it, rest in the Lord, and then it says this, and wait patiently for him. Then, go ahead to verse 34. I was going to read all of this Psalm, but it was 40 verses, so I didn't. But it says, wait on the Lord, and keep his way. Those tell us that we're to wait on the Lord, and just keep on doing the right things. Well, Pastor, I wish God would hurry up sometimes. Maybe sometimes I do too. But you got to trust. You got to delight. You got to commit. You got to rest. You got to wait. You got to just keep doing his ways. Then I want you to go all the way down to verse 39. Where he says this. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. And that, notice what it says here now. He is our strength in time of trouble. He's our strength. We delight in him. We do all those things. And then you know what we find? We find that he is our strength. That is, when we need him, he's there for us. There's never a time when you need God that he's not going to be there. Now read the last verse. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. You know what he does? He helps us. You ever pray a simple prayer, something like this? Lord, help me. That's not a lot of words. Lord, help me. Three words. Sometimes that's all you need to pray. Sometimes you pray that way in a little thing. But it might be a big thing. That doesn't necessarily mean it's got to be a little thing. It might be a big thing. A big thing that you can't fix. Did you ever find a situation in your, everybody has. Did you ever find a situation in your life you say, man, I wish I could just fix it. But you know what you find out? You can't. Do you know we can't fix everybody's problems? We can't fix everything. So what do we say? We say, Lord, we need your help. God, help us. There's a lot of things in this world we can't fix. And beyond that, in John 15, Jesus said, for me, without me, you can do nothing. I mean, you need to cry out to him for help. And so you might just cry out and say, Lord, help me please now. You may do that. I've done that. Now, he did not stop. Well, let's go back. I think it's verse 8 I want to look at again. He said, cease from anger. I said rest earlier. When we have anger, you know what we don't do, and you've heard this in Sunday school. We don't rest well. We lay awake at night. We're stewing inside. We're like that crock pot anger, you know. We're just a-churning. And it's getting simmering away all night long. And you don't rest, and you toss and turn, and you wake up, and you think, you know how that is. People have been there. That's where people are. That's not what we're supposed to do, but that's where we are. We have anger. We don't have rest. So the psalmist says, look, don't fret. He said, instead, I want you to trust and delight and commit and rest and wait and cease from anger and don't sin. He mentioned that in verse 8 where he said, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't you do evil. Don't you go, well, I've just had it. I'm just going to go do something evil. That's not smart. That's not smart at all. You just keep doing good. You keep his ways. He's your strength. He's your helper. You can't fix it, but he can. I don't know when he will, but he can. We just need to keep on keeping on. And when we get angry and feel like quitting and feel like giving up, we need to remember verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Just a little while, it said there, they shall soon be cut down as the green grass, wither as the green herb. Now, we struggle with that because God isn't bound by time. In the big picture, it's just a little while. If you use what Peter said, I think, where he said, a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. Technically speaking, man's only been on the earth 6 days. Well, we look at somebody, you know, I was out door knocking not all that long ago, and I came across a World War II vet, and I, fit as a fiddle, comes walking over, answers the door, comes out, sits on the porch, we get in a little conversation, 98 years old. Now, when we meet somebody 98 years old, we say, man, that guy is old. You know what God says? That's not even a day. It's not even a day. So God, we struggle sometimes because we don't, it's hard for me and maybe you to get my mind around God's timetable because it's not like mine at all. And so while David is upset, he's able to remember verse 11, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now I want you to look at a few more of the verses here that we didn't read, verse 16. I did read this one. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Verse 18, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be for how long? Forever. Be forever. Pastor, this can be hard. Well, verse 22, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they shall be cursed of him shall be cut off. And then notice, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Who falls? The righteous fall. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And the good man, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Good people fall. We do. We can get angry. We can fret. We can say things and do things that we ought not to say and we ought not to do. But you ought to read that psalm, and you ought to remember some of those words, and they're usually right there in the first few verses there. Don't fret. Don't be envious. Delight yourself. Trust. Commit. Rest. Have peace. Keep on doing the right thing. You just keep doing good. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You do those things that are mentioned there, and you just have to remember that in the big picture, God's going to take care of it. It'll be all right. Now, Pastor, there's some things I need fixed now. Yeah, but God's not on your timetable. So, you know, I don't like that. Well, I can't say that I'm always a big fan of it either, right? But that is the way that it is. I pray you will. I pray you'll take that advice that David gives us there. He seemed to be upset when you begin at the prosperity of the wicked. And sometimes Christians get that way. Why do they have it so good and I have it so horrible? Well, you probably don't have it as bad as you at those. You don't always think that way, I hope. But when you think that way, you probably don't really have it as bad as you think you have it. Anyway, Lord, I just want to thank you for the psalm. We're given some instruction. We're to trust and we're to commit and we're to rest and we're to wait. We're to remember that you are our strength and that you're our helper. And yet, Lord, we look at sometimes and see how much prospering the wicked are doing. And it's in America, but it's not just in America. It's all over. So, Lord, as we come to you tonight and spend a little time in your word, I pray you'd help us to meditate on those things and to do those things, and that we would remember indeed that while we may not be able to fix everything, we can cry out to you when we can find strength in you and help in you. And there are some people here tonight that may need your help a little more than others, and I pray that they would learn to find that you are their all in all. In Jesus' name, amen.